Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
8:14 is the time. Welcome back.
Yay.
Yeah. Hey, they voted in Wisconsin yesterday, had the primary.
Yes, they did.
But it was there. It was gone.
Oh,
it was
man.
There.
It's been way for 2 weeks, up and down and all around.
They had it, but the results won't be in until Monday.
Oh, what are they, caucus?
I don't know what they're doing.
No, it was an actual
primary.
It's
not the New Hampshire way. Okay, let's put it that way.
I know. But fortunately, we also were able to get it done early before everything went
completely. Well, we did it right. We did it after that train wreck in Iowa. I don't even know if Iowa's official yet.
I know. But it wasn't a coronavirus thing at the time.
Well, then you shouldn't have had it.
And you should have just stuck with that.
There you go.
Because you know what? No matter who comes out ahead, somebody else can take it to court. Whether it's even if it doesn't hold up in court, it'll at least get heard, you know?
And it was supposed to be, all the numbers I saw, it was like 2-1 Biden.
He was looking that way anyway.
So I don't know what the story is.
But it was just so kerflooey that people aren't going to take it for what it's worth anyway. You know what I mean? No matter what. Yes, these are very strong numbers. Okay.
Yeah, but
nobody's really going to trust it.
Well, we're not going to know until Monday, and it's going to be a memory by Monday.
I know.
I mean, the way in this 24-hour news cycle,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody, whoa, and then it's gone.
It's so true.
They forget about it. Gas still 139 in Kentuckook, 145 in Moultonboro, and a 149 in Moultonboro. Got a 149 in Hampton, another one in Hampton Falls. And the most expensive gas in the state, 239, in Manchester. So that's where we are, gas all over the place. But you can find it under $2 a gallon, no problems at all. I think I found the perfect coronavirus theme song.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm not sure.
Oh, come on. Made to order.
Okay. I think you're right.
Come on. I mean, it works.
It is. And it is kind of has an upbeat backbeat to it.
There you go. Don't stand so close to me.
I like that.
So self-distancing. It is our pleasure to welcome back after a couple of weeks hiatus, but he's been a little busy, if you haven't noticed. ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the state of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. Nobody's standing very... I do not have corona by any means. I don't have the slightest symptom, but nobody is standing very close to me lately.
I mean, you know what?
Amazing.
If that's actually sinking in everywhere, it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. I have about a third of my staff now works from home. A third of them have been kind of deployed to other parts of the state because, you know, we're just trying to do good social distancing practice here in the office. And even the few staff that I have here in my office, we kind of have a policy. Everyone stays at least 6 to 10 feet away at any given time. Just to play it safe, and it's working. But it actually gets a little lonely.
It does, but it's just very so important that nobody ease up on this. Even if there are glimmers of hope or some sunshine coming through the clouds, we got to keep doing what we're doing.
Well, you know why there's glimmers of hope? Because we're doing it.
Yes.
Right? The social distancing and the physical distancing that we started 2 or 3 weeks ago, we're starting to see those benefits now, and it's really working. But, you can't just be like, oh, okay, we'll just completely go back to normal. Unfortunately, we're going to need some discipline here. And we could still see spikes because you loosen up too much. Next thing you know, we have a second spike that's worse than the first.
Right.
Right? And we're just stuck in this never-ending up-and-down wave of COVID and coronavirus. So we got to be real disciplined and kind of see it all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if over the next few weeks we can find some areas to loosen things up and get things more back to normal here and there in a safe way while always maintaining public safety, we're going to do that if we can. But no, we need to have good personal and social discipline in terms of saying, okay, look, just because our numbers were down for a couple of days, that does not define a trend, by the way. We're in a good spot right now, but that can spike up at any moment. You saw it in New York, up, down.
I know.
Coming down again, but they could spike right back up again.
So I know. And
we've been very, very good here.
There's been a lot of talk about the curve, but don't forget, there is the other side of the curve where it's still going on.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. So, you know, the backside of our curve is going to be like, I think, like a little bumpy waves going down. Mm-hmm. Right? Up, down, you know, down 10, up 5, down 7, up 6. So we'll kind of be on the bumpy end of this. So we're probably still in it for a little while, to be sure. And the worst days, I still think, could very well be ahead of us,
mm-hmm.
Depending on when this surge, you know, really, really hits us, if it does at all. My sense it'll hit the southern part of the state, but not necessarily the northern and rural areas. We're not sure yet, but because there just is more physical distancing in the Grafton counties, Carroll, you know, Coos County, there's just more physical barriers there, right? Because they don't live, you know, in such densely populated areas. So naturally speaking, there's a chance that they don't see a big surge on their system. We'll see. We're still a ways out. But the southern tier, Hillsborough, Rockingham, they're effectively suburbs of Boston, and so we're going to be in a very similar boat as some of those counties north of Boston that you see.
You know, after September 11th, there was no handbook that told us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act, what we're going to do. There is no handbook for this kind of response. You're writing it as you go along.
I'm writing it.
Is it frustrating?
Yeah. I hope someone's writing it down. I don't have time to write much down, to be honest. So,
well, yeah, there you go. So we don't have time to write the handbook. We're living it.
Yeah, is it? But is it frustrating sometimes to try to write this handbook and do a blueprint for the future and get us through now?
I don't know if I would use the word frustrating. It is everything is every day and every decision is a complete unknown. And
mm-hmm.
so you just have to use all the data, mm-hmm. right? Data trumps models. Don't look at, I mean, the models are important to get a sense of where you might go, but also look at your data to see where you are today. And, mm-hmm. and again, hopefully that keeps revising the model as you go. So it's, I don't want to say it's frustrating, but look, we have a dozen people up here that are working with us to make big, bold, unprecedented decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And you take all the advice you can. And I guess I go back to what Governor Scott and I were talking about. This is as Governor of Vermont. All the governors talk very, very consistently now. And he said it, and he was right. He said, if you're making a decision that you're comfortable with, it's either not enough or you're too late, right? Every decision in a crisis situation should be at least a little bit, if not extremely, uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably means you're on the right track because it is a crisis situation. You have to do things completely out of your personal norm, the norm of the office. And so it's not frustrating, but it is in a way disturbing because every day you go, what did I just do? Like,
right.
I really believe this is the right and safe thing to do, but my goodness, look at all the negative impacts. And I spend all this time not just dwelling on it, but really dwelling on the data. Well, it's going to impact this and him and her and that business there. And so you really have to take a lot of the time is figuring out what the indirect and direct impacts of these very, very serious decisions are. And as soon as we can undo it, we're going to undo it. But again, folks, we've got to tell everyone, please wear the masks if you can. You know, use the physical distancing if you can. Work from home if mm-hmm. you can. Mm-hmm. We're trying to provide a lot of flexibility here, but there are still a lot of new social norms that are going to have to be taken on. And what's this going to look like a year from now?
Right.
Let's say we get out of this in a couple months, right? You know, things like the university system, I think about. You know, we might have to drastically change the dynamic of how higher education works, not just here in New Hampshire, but in this country,
mm-hmm.
because so much has been transported to online learning. Okay, so how do we use that model to create opportunities for those individuals? A lot of things might not just go back to looking the way it always has been. There's mm-hmm. a whole new dynamic there. And also, how do we prepare for the next one, right? The federal government was able to provide a lot of PPE, and we've been able to get that out. But, you know, what are we going to do the next time here in New Hampshire to make sure our manufacturers can turn on quickly to create things that we need in the moment, or that we can create our own PPE, or that we're going to have, you know, the right testing and amino acids and reagents, all these things that we deal with on a daily basis mm-hmm. as we're trying to scrounge up kind of all over the world. You know, what can we do here just to be prepared for that next unknown, because you don't know what it's going to be.
But it's
so
okay.
We
do have New Hampshire businesses stepping up to help. Okay, you know what? I think I could do this. I think I could do this. And kind of working together toward relieving some of this.
It's awesome. I mean, the number of businesses, literally hundreds have stepped up. Some have said, look, I'm a construction company. I have a lot of latex gloves and N95 masks. We're going to go on hiatus. You take all our stuff. Some businesses have said, you know, we make X, but we're going to completely retool our manufacturing facility because we have great manufacturers here. We're going to completely retool our facility, and within a couple of weeks, we think we can make, you know, the gowns or the booties or the ventilator parts or whatever
mm-hmm,
it might be.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing. I thought maybe a dozen or so companies would be able to help out. it's literally well over 100 companies are just effectively moving forward and saying, what can we do to help and change our model to help you? It's awesome. And so, again, we don't want to have to rely on that emergency situation. We want to kind of pre-plan for it, right? Pre-plan for what the needs are and then help those companies be ready. So they can go back to making whatever the widgets they were making before.
Yeah.
But we want to know we can turn them on even faster next time so that we don't have to say, you know, I'm not banging on FEMA. Where's our stuff? Where's our stuff?
Right.
That was, if you want to talk about frustrating, that was getting very frustrating.
Oh, I'm sure.
One thing and then being sent another. One thing I've learned through this crisis is you can order what you want, pay for what you want. Money isn't really the issue because the federal government has stepped in with a lot of money. But until it lands on the runway, until that truck pulls into the parking lot with your stuff in the back and you can count it, don't count on anything and actually getting there. So, you know, we are New Hampshire. We are typically a self-reliant state. We've done a great job through this one. I just think that if with a little forethought and some emphasis, we can probably set ourselves even better the next time. So, again, you're just getting through the crises that much better. And to your point, Peter, and write the handbook. I mean, someone's, you know, at some point we'll write all this down, and someone is writing a lot of it down. Don't get me wrong. But,
and that's good.
You know, really, someone is taking some notes somewhere. I mean, the fact that, if I may, you know, there were some days when, you know, at 9 a.m. we're making critical decisions. At noon, we're making another decision we never thought would happen. At 3 o'clock, and then the next day you wake up, you're like, okay, I think we're in a good position, and boom, right? Something else happens, and you got to move quickly. That's why the state of emergency, I never appreciated how important and powerful it was going to be able to react in a health crisis. You absolutely need it. It's an immense amount of power, but boy, without it, otherwise all these decisions would be going through a clunky legislative process. And the legislature has a great checks and balance process, but you've got to be able to make decisions quickly on the spot. Sometimes they're very difficult. They're very uncomfortable, but you got to do them. And because we were able to do it, look where we are today. We're already seeing some very positive results of that. And hopefully we'll keep that up. But, you know, it's been an amazing journey. We got a long ways to go, to be sure. But the people in New Hampshire deserve a lot of the credit here. They've done an incredible job with the distancing, and we're already seeing some very, very positive public health benefits.
We spoke to somebody who was in charge of one of your resources that you're tapping, and he is thrilled. David Michaelides, the Adjutant General for the National Guard, had the general on yesterday, and we're chatting with him. And some of the Guards folks, the Air Guard, the Army Guard, some of the IT people are here, some of the warehousing people are here, MPs are ready. I mean, just he's appreciative that the Guard is standing by and ready to play a role when called upon, and they are being called upon.
Oh, absolutely. So they're at the food bank. They've been trained, and they're answering phones in the unemployment insurance and unemployment security hotline. We have over 100 people over there. A lot of them are the men and women of our National Guard, which have been tremendous. They're the ones that were able to use their logistics expertise to set up the surge centers, not in a matter of weeks, but in a matter of hours, right? Like 48 to 72 hours, the biggest surge and flex facility for the hospitals was set up over at Southern New Hampshire, and they deserve a lot of the credit for that. They're the ones that kind of organized all of that all around the state. We have 14 of them now around the state. And so it went from under typical times, you'd talk about it, you'd plan it out, you'd put it on paper, it would be reviewed. 3 months later, you'd get to something. From the time I said go to the time they had the first one set up was a matter of days. I mean, that's just unbelievable. And so the men and women of the Guard have been incredible. If we need them on the front lines, for police or fire, right, to fill in roles as people get quarantined or maybe they get positive results on COVID, they're going to be there. If we need truck drivers to bring in materials and supplies for the grocers, they're going to be there. There's nothing you ask of those men and women that they don't immediately step up and say, we can do it. Yep. Or if they don't know how to do it, they'll say, we'll figure it out in the next 24 hours. We can do it, right? There's nothing that they say no to. So people in New Hampshire should be so proud of those folks. We got 3,000 incredible individuals. A lot of them are already on the front lines in our hospitals, right?
Yep.
They have the medical expertise, the nurses and doctors. So being able to call on them on a moment's notice, and now that we have this Title 32 status with the federal government's going to pay for the vast majority of those costs. And again, that just gives us a lot more flexibility to use them as the tool, the incredibly flexible tool that they can and should be.
Chris, last question. I know you got to run. Will we be able to go home again after this is over? I mean, will kids go back to the classroom, or is online education going to be the wave of the future, and are people going to be working from home and not in office? I mean, is this going to change how we operate?
Yeah, I think it is. Look, kids are going to go back to the classroom. There's no doubt about that. Will it happen this year? I don't know. I really don't. I think, look, even if we got incredibly positive numbers, and I said after May 4th we're going to open the schools up for the last month, I don't know how many kids would, parents would actually still send their kid, right? There's still a risk there, of course, unless it was completely eradicated, which it won't be by May 4th. So you have to take that dynamic into account. Come next September, I feel very confident we're going to be back into a place where the schools are open and things are quote-unquote back to normal. But, you know, when it comes to snow days, when it comes to other short-term emergencies, now that we know virtually every district in the state can get up and running with remote learning on a moment's notice, that creates a lot of flexibility now for those school districts, right, in terms of how they schedule and what they can do. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of benefits that are coming out of this. We are, you know, necessity is the, what do they say, necessity, you know, creates all and creates innovation. And that's exactly what we did. We had a need. We innovated a new system. And now we can use that for the future, right? So in some ways, we're going to be much better off because we've innovated these new systems and we've designed the stuff and we've been forced to challenge ourselves to open up new ways of doing things, which I absolutely love. I mean, if there's anything not right in this world, it's doing the same old thing the same old way, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it works, but usually if you're not challenging yourself to use new technology, to find a new way of doing it, to adapt to your surroundings, it's like a shark. You know, if you're not moving forward, you die.
Right.
And so we want all of these systems from a government level, just speaking as a governor, you want all these systems constantly moving forward, and we've pushed all of them into light speed in a matter of days, and most of them did a very, very good job of reacting and finding new ways of doing it. So we'll see. The key, the real challenge is going to be saying, okay, we have 100,000 people yesterday on unemployment. That number is probably still going to grow for some time.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure we get them back to work? How do we incentivize them? When we open the businesses up, how do we incentivize them to get back to work and back to work in a safe atmosphere?
Right.
Do you have a second for another quick story? This is an interesting one. I went and grabbed a pizza on the way home on Friday.
Nice.
And I went over New England Pizza, one of my favorite places in Exeter. Front row is good too, but I went to New England. Anyway, my buddy Harry runs the place, and I heard he was going to shut down the next day. And so I went in thinking that, oh, I bet he can't get workers. Nobody's coming into work. And the place was bustling. Behind the counter, there were like 10 people making the pizzas and the subs and all this stuff, and everyone was using good social distancing as they waited in the line to pick up the pizza. And I got to the front. I said, Harry, I said, I heard you're going to shut down. He said, I am. I said, business looks great. He goes, oh, no, business is booming. My staff is wonderful. He said, we're just too close. He said, back in this kitchen, we're just too physically close, and we're getting a little nervous, and I don't want to be irresponsible. So I'm doing great business-wise. I got to shut down and just do right by my employees. And that was probably 1,000 other stories out there where businesses are doing well.
Yep.
Employees want to come to work.
Yep.
But if they don't feel like it's in a safe atmosphere, then they're going to pull back while we're in this crisis. So what are the new norms that we're going to get people back to work, right? Is it providing them more PPE? Is it creating, you know, new requirements on spacing? I mean, I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but this is one example of businesses could just look naturally a little bit different. And a lot of businesses have shut down not because business is bad or they were forced to shut down, but because of the proximity of where they work or how they work or, you know, the safety implications of that for themselves and their customers.
Well, I think
all of this is going to be challenged.
I think we're going to have more stories the next time you call us.
There you go.
All right. Hey, very quickly, would you put on the pizza?
So my thing is I get what they call the New Englander, which is peppers, mushrooms, pepperoni, little sausage. I went all out. I went
nice,
all out.
Nice.
I'm trying to watch my weight, so I don't eat pizza too often. But when I do, I do.
Oh, yeah, no, that's great.
There you go.
All right, well, Governor,
we're going to go in, jump in the deep end, right?
As always, we appreciate the time. We look forward to chatting with you again. Thanks for the updates and keep doing it, Chris. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you so much.
Well. We really appreciate the time. Thanks.
Happy to do it. So there you go.
Excellent.
Governor Chris Sununu giving us an update as to what's shaking.
And if you missed any of it, we'll put it online later on. And he was away. He was not so close to eat.
I thought this was a great coronavirus song.
I'm not going to argue with it. We'll be right back.
There was a story, speaking of the police.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Stones were somewhere. Stones were playing a concert or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith was lounging around either ingesting something he probably shouldn't have. And somebody said, hey, the police are here.
Not Keith.
Somebody said, the police are here. And Keith freaked out. And then Sting came walking in a couple of minutes later. Yeah. It kind of messed him up.
Oh.
8:34. So that's just urban legend, I guess. I don't know. 8:34 is the time. We'll take a break. Back with more right after this.